A no vote would mean no end to the government shutdown. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News, and that vote will come later today at the Senate.
We're watching for Democratic defections today. Republicans are daring Democrats to block another attempt to pass a temporary spending bill. It's about the math. The GOP needs five Democrats to hit 60 votes and break a filibuster.
Fox's Chad Pergam at the Capitol. Democrats demand provisions to the bill to restore cuts made earlier this year to health care and other programs, denying Republican claims they're trying to give coverage to illegal immigrants. As the protests against immigration raids rage on near Chicago, where Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem is visiting an ICE facility today, Fox's Garrett Tenney is there in Broadview, Illinois.
Hundreds of activists showing up, and just minutes ago, Border Patrol agents came out, had some kind of conversation with police in the sheriff's department, and they have been asked to all put on gas masks. So it appears something is imminently about to happen.
A dozen arrests have been reported this morning. President Trump just posted a deadline for Hamas to agree to a ceasefire plan for Gaza that Israel's already accepted. Writing on Truth Social, Hamas must comply by 6 p.m. Eastern Sunday, or all hell will break out against them. Under the Trump plan, Hamas must release the rest of the hostages.
I am eternally grateful to President Trump for saving my life.
Keith Siegel was one of the hostages set free earlier this year, telling Fox,
I was threatened. They threatened to kill me. I saw a woman being tortured, literally. I knew about the six hostages that were murdered in a tunnel by Hamas terrorists.
Sean Diddy Combs' sentencing hearings underway in New York. The hip-hop singer and producer asking the judge for leniency on two prostitution-related convictions from Combs' sex scandal.
The judge just told the defense team he'll allow Diddy's children to speak. Well, we're also expecting to see this nearly 12-minute long video showing Diddy in and out of the spotlight over the years. It's compiled like a campaign ad.
Fox's TV Cotton outside the federal court. America's listening to Fox News.
You ever wonder why Verizon charges twice as much as Pure Talk for the same basic service? Think it might have something to do with the fact that Verizon spends $12 billion a year on advertising and promotion. That's billion with a B. Yeah, Pure Talk doesn't spend that kind of money on commercials. That's why they can offer unlimited talk, text, and plenty of data on a blazing fast 5G network for just $25 a month. Save an additional 50% off your first month when you dial pound 250 and say the words micro. That's pound 250, micro.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm, and Chuck McDowell, definitely not an attorney. This is Chuck. If someone talked you into buying something really silly, and you want to get out of that silly little thing, my advice, get the facts. Call me, and I'll send you our timeshare exit kit absolutely free. Inside, you'll learn how timeshare works and all your options for cancellation.
Call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit information kit. 800-809-7171. That's 800-809-7171.
Information desk, I'm Jelena Aguilera. The Yuma man charged with murdering a woman and her unborn baby in Yuma has pled guilty. 29-year-old Alexander Dels had pled guilty to second-degree murder for killing Alexis Rodriguez in 2023. He faces 17 years in prison. Dels was originally facing 14 counts with two counts of murder and attempted murder. He is set to be sentenced in court on October 14th. Plus, the Humane Society of Yuma says they are battling an overcrowding crisis with the limited shelter space and constant intake of animals. They created an at-risk list of adoptable animals that are at high risk of humane euthanasia due to limited space. Locals can help through donating items or cash donations, volunteering, fostering, and microchipping your pets so that they can be returned to you if they get lost. Catch us on the TV side on News 11 every weekday at 5, 6, and 10 p.m. for your latest local news, weather, and sports.
Thinking ahead to that 10-day extended forecast, this may be the warmest day we have, at least for a couple weeks. So we may actually be headed in the other direction after a high of 95 today. 65 and clear tonight. Saturday, sunny and 88. 64 Saturday night. 90 and sunny on Sunday.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma Investment Group's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis Sr. Wealth Advisor.
Because the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk here. Another beautiful Friday here in Yuma. Temperature hasn't really dropped low enough where it's cold. It's perfect. Today we're going to be talking about giving, and I got a guest on today, Veronica Shore. Good morning.
Good morning.
So you're the regional director, executive director for Arizona Community Foundation.
Yes, I've been there for almost a decade now.
Oh, so you're almost tenured in, huh?
Yes.
So, you know, giving is crucial, right? Because the world goes around by other people helping other people, and hopefully that's what the goal should be, to, you know, make it to the next step in life, which is hopefully up in heaven, right? Got to give a little bit and be a nice person. So what I want to do today is put my glasses on, being a financial advisor with Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management, and then you're kind of like the hub of giving, as I explained. And I've had to explain it to somebody, like you basically have many, many ways to give and different programs that do different things, which we'll go through in a minute.
Yes. I want to say that we're the experts in charitable giving.
Yeah.
Because it's our business to know to work with you and to know how to work with you, but it's also to know the community and know where the needs are.
Correct. And someone might have an idea to give and think they want to give, and I think I might want to write a check. But then you ask a couple more questions and be like, well, you do have that appreciated stock or appreciated something. Mm-hmm. So sometimes there's tax advantage of giving different ways, not only by just writing a check.
Yeah, there's so many different ways to give. Most people think that when they give, they can do cash, right? But you can give stock, real estate, different types of ways to give, definitely.
Yeah, and you know... You know, I don't know if you guys take cars, do you? I know that's a way to give. Some of the nonprofits say donate your car, but
maybe it's if it's a really, really fancy car, we can talk.
Kind of like Russ's car, probably yeah. Be a good.
Does he have a Bentley or something?
You got to see his car. I'm joking.
It's a 97 Geo.
Yeah. Oh, there's some nonprofits who are really set up to receive car donations, and unless it's part of a big estate plan, then
sure.
We'll guide you otherwise.
So when I talk about giving, the first thing to, you know, what I would like to do is talk about like maybe the best way to give, and then kind of different layers, because there's different layers of how you can give. So this is kind of a trick question. I don't want to put you on the spot here.
Oh, man.
So if you had to give asset, money, whatever, what's the best kind of giving you could give?
Actually, a donor advised fund. So I have a donor advised fund at the Community Foundation, and monthly I put money into my donor advised fund. And then whenever there's a need out in the community, I give out from my DAF into the community.
And we're going to go through a DAF because I'm thinking that. But here, the best way to give is other people's money.
Oh, yes,
like
of course.
Like if you can write a check, that's not your money, right? That's the way to give, right?
Yes. Yes.
So there's ways you can do that. And one is the Arizona tax credit.
Yes.
Which you can give public schools $400. And when we say it's an Arizona tax credit, it basically means money that would have went for the state tax, because you have to get a W-2. And instead of paying the state of Arizona, which probably much doesn't make it back here, you get to redirect that money.
To our local schools here.
You can do local schools. You can do nonprofits. You can do foster programs. Mm-hmm. There's a military one. So to me, that's the best way to give, because
mm-hmm. keeping rally, it local.
Yeah. You're basically redirecting someone else's money, which is the taxpayer money to redirect. And really everybody should be doing that mm-hmm. has like a little bit of means to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the only downside to doing that, because people say, oh, that sounds good, let's just give. The only downside is you got to write a check to the nonprofit and go through the right way. And then you got to wait until you file your taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So there used to be where December 31st was the deadline to do that. So you'd have to float that money for 4 or 5 months. But now they actually let you float all the way up to tax time. So you can, you know, by April 1st, you can do 2024 or the year before.
Right.
So that's a big giving. The big, beautiful bill has made things a little easier.
Yes. So now they've changed the deductions to where you can itemize giving, and it's single filers can deduct up to $1,000 in cash gifts, and married couples can deduct up to $2,000 in cash gifts.
So what happened was when Trump was in office the first time, they passed some bill, forgot the name of it, but basically you had to you could itemize your deduction, but you had to be above like $24,000. Well, the typical American doesn't, you know, that's a high
right.
number, so a lot of people couldn't do that.
Now you don't have to deduct.
Yeah.
And you can get up to $1,000 single, up to
$2,000. Correct. So, and what happened was, statistically, I got a number, about 37 nonprofits nationwide took in 37% less money because people, yeah, they want to give, but they want a deduction. So if you're not itemized high enough, you can give, but there's no deduction. So, should I give? But now, with the big, beautiful bill, you can give $1,000 single or $2,000 as a married couple, deductible.
Yeah, so those people who love to give to their churches, this is going to make a real big difference because they can deduct up to $1,000 or $2,000.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not only to their churches, but, I mean, like the food bank.
Yeah,
I mean,
favorite nonprofit.
They had money cut back. I think all these nonprofits, because people, you know, they want the little bit of an edge, a little bit of edge. I get deducted off my taxes. And when that was taken away,
mm-hmm.
I think the small donors probably just decided not to do it.
Many people give because they really care about the nonprofits in the community. But a lot of the giving is tied back to these tax deductions. And when regulations change, the nonprofits really do suffer.
Correct. And it's kind of, I don't know who did that first bill with Trump, but the writing was on the wall. The nonprofits were going to suffer. So that I don't know who did that, but that probably wasn't the best deal. Okay, so you can give to some nonprofits in town or church if it's a nonprofit. I think the kicker is to get the deduction, you got to give to a nonprofit.
Right.
So there's people around town that might ask for money, and you want to ask, are you a 501c?
Three.
Three?
A 501c3.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they might, be raising money because someone's house burned down or something. Yeah, you could give, but that's not a deduction technically.
Yeah, exactly. So there's, you know, sometimes you see fundraisers where people are having car washes or selling foods or tickets for something, and people really want to support and give. Those donations are not tax deductible because you're giving to individuals. When you give directly to a nonprofit, a 501c3, that's when it's deductible. There's also this misconception that if you're like in a 501c6 group, like the Rotaries or a member of the country club, that you can deduct those fees, and that's not true. It has to be directly a 501c3, which is your most of your nonprofits here in the community.
Correct. And then if you give to a 501c3, they have, and if it's more than $250, they have to give you a little notice.
Yeah, they'll give you an acknowledgement.
Yeah.
Yes.
So make sure you get that, because if you ever get audited, it's easier to say I have the proof than to try to go back and get the proof.
Yeah, and this is one of the reasons why we encourage people to give through the Arizona Community Foundation, because we make sure that they get those tax receipts.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys, the back paperwork needed is automatic, basically.
Yes.
So
mm-hmm.
that, which is good. I mean, I've gave some nonprofits, and you know, I didn't. When we start to do our taxes, we don't get a letter, and we call, hey, you know, we didn't get a letter. Oh yeah, we'll send it to you.
Because
you know, a lot of these nonprofits don't have a full staff or they don't have systems in place. But you guys are like 100%
automatic.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so let's just say, besides giving $1,000 or $2,000 or to any nonprofit, let's just say I get more serious and I want to give, or I'm like, okay, well, I want to give more money. So you have different things that you can do through your organization, but let's start at the simpler one, I would say. And that might be the DAF, or is there a simpler one before that?
No, I think the DAF is the easiest way to give. The DAF is your personal charitable checkbook. So let's say you have a credit card, you have a savings account, you have a regular bank account. The DAF is really your charitable checkbook. So you put money in, you can't get your money back. So once the money goes in, it's in the DAF. But you get to direct where the money goes, and you can choose as many organizations as you want to process a grant to them.
Yeah.
And what we do is we vet the organizations, and we make sure that the money goes out.
Yeah. And it's funny you say that, because I actually have a DAF, Donor Advised Fund. The thing that it's tempting to me is when you, towards the end of the year, when it's, you know, everyone's busy, you can just donate to it.
Yes.
So you don't have to give a lot of thought of where you're going to give the money. You just put it in there. There's a custodian that, that takes care of it, and you guys are a custodian, there's other custodians. And basically, those custodians, usually that you invest the money. You can be stocks, bonds, I mean, not stocks, but mutual fund stock bonds and safe investments. But if you wanted to keep it in there for 10 years and let it grow, you could put it in the market through some stock fund, and hopefully it grows too. Then at, when the money comes out, you basically have to give it to a 501c.
Right, 501c3, yes.
Yeah. Now, that it's kind of the cheapest way to go because things get more expensive as you give more money and try to put other or other items, which we'll talk about. So it's kind of the cheapest way to go. And the like, you guys have the minimum, right? Your minimum and
it's $25,000 to open a DAF ACF.
Yep.
You know, if you have, like, let's say we're getting close to the end of the year, and in November you decide to sell your $1 million home, or you sell your home, or you sell something big, and you're going to have liable income, right? That capital can mess up capital gains. Capital that can mess up your annual income. You can put the excess in a DAF and then decide later where like you said, where the money's going to go. But it's like a little safe place. We ACF is a 501c3. So you get a deduction by putting it into your DAF. So.
And you truly give, once it goes in there, it's legally not your money. Mm-hmm. But you have say on when you want to have it paid out to 501c. So I could wait 3 years and then pay it out, and but I tell them, please.
You know, tell me exactly where it goes.
Where it goes, yeah. So it's actually, so when I did mine, my thought was to put some money into it, and I should put more, but I haven't. But anyways, have enough built up so when I die, basically, there's maybe, you know, 100,000 plus in there, and then that would be that would pass on so my kids can figure out.
Yeah, they can become fund advisors after you.
Yeah, and as you know, giving, you know, teaching the next generation to give is a value or something that I want. So they would have a jump start because my dad never set that up for me. But at least they have to decide, do I want the food bank? Do I want, you know, you have to get a little bit more attached to it.
So. Yeah, so that's a DAF. With the DAF, you can change the beneficiaries at any time. With a designated fund, you say, I want to give to the food bank, to the Humane Society, and to the Yuma Community Fund. And you designate that, and then you can leave clear instructions so your successors cannot change that.
Yeah.
But they can still oversee.
Yeah. Well, you can say, I want to give nonprofits for Yuma County.
Yes.
So not in case they move out of town or something. Yeah.
And we've actually had a nonprofit that was a beneficiary of somebody's DAF or designated fund, and they ended up closing. The donor is still alive, so we reached out to the donor and said, this nonprofit closed. Would you like us to find something similar, or would you like to designate your money somewhere else? And they asked us to look for something similar because they were really passionate about that. So we did, and we were able to make that change.
So is it like a designated funds? Is it really just a DAF that has one direction? Or is
yes.
It okay.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So it's a different. So if we wanted, so DAFs have very minimal to get into. You know, I know there's some other companies out there, like mutual fund companies have, like, I think, $10,000 minimum. And then you can direct the money, get aggressive, conservative, and then pay it out when you're ready. But the main thing is you get the deduction right away.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's the next level of giving if you want to say, well, you know, maybe I want to give more money? So my understanding is if you're seriously into giving, you can start a foundation. The problem with the foundation, and there's a couple local businesses in town that actually had a foundation, is that you have to have, give or take, at least a couple million bucks to make it worthwhile, right?
I think you have to have over $3 million to have your own private foundation.
Yeah, to make it make sense.
To make it make sense.
Because there's accounting involved, there's probably some legal work, and I'm sure there's other things involved. So basically, if you did a foundation for $100,000, like, you'd be going negative, and it wouldn't make any sense.
You know, a private foundation is really good if you just have that super high level of millions of dollars. But even at that rate, the Burton Family Foundation, one of the richest families in Arizona, instead of having their own private family foundation, they decided to partner with the Arizona Community Foundation to do all of their giving.
Yeah.
And they have their family fund with us. It's a corporate DAF. So We work with them to make grants all over Arizona.
So do they roll their old one into it, or they started new with you?
No,
guys?
They started new with us. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's almost like, you know, do I want to do my own taxes, my accounting, my get everyone on the same page? And or do you, I want to outsource it?
Look exactly.
Look at it like an outsourcing. Hey, we're going to take our first break here. We'll be right back. This is Money Talk, 560 AM.
Everyone's trying to get it right. Get it right.
This is Derek Eggerberg, NMLS number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace, offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. Whether you require low volatility, liquid assets, or longer-term investments for higher returns, it's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush, Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management. We're talking today with Veronica Shore, who's a regional director of Arizona Community Foundation. And we're basically talking about giving, different ways to give. I do want to come back because we talked about the tax credit for individuals where you redirect your tax money to different nonprofits or schools or organizations. But there's something else out there called a corporate tax credit. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really know about this until like 4 or 5 years ago. And someone approached me, the Diocese of Tucson, and said, hey, how about a corporate tax credit? I'm like, well, what's that? So basically, my business makes so much money, and then you got to pay state tax. Mm-hmm. So now you can give on a corporate level, and you can give like upwards of, you know, basically there's a pot of money, and you can give like $1 million.
Right.
I mean, it's almost unlimited. Now, when the money runs out, because the state allocates so much money, then it runs out. But a lot of times, the money some years they don't run out, or they run out within 2 or 3 months, but there was someone in Yuma that sold their business and, you know, made upwards of $20 million from this business. And they all that state tax, which is a lot of state tax, I think it was like $800,000 or something, they funneled it into this program.
Wow.
So instead of, you know, having your money go to Maricopa, it basically stayed down here. So the Arizona tax credit for, you can be an S-Corp. Would allow it to, or you can be an LLC that is treated like an S-Corp. But a lot of business owners don't know that.
Yeah.
Now, the beauty of the Arizona tax giving is not only do you redirect the money, is that, but you also get a deduction to a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
So if I give $1,000, say, to Yuma Catholic because they have a private school thing, okay, I redirect that money, but also show $1,000 contribution. So that's probably going to save me give or take 20%, 25%. Mm-hmm. So it's a win-win. I mean, even for your taxes, it's a win-win.
There's many, many, many different ways to give. And we just, you have to make sure to talk to your financial advisor, your CPA, and then come talk to us at the Community Foundation to see what's the best giving vehicle.
Yeah. And we kind of know the rules and kind of have a general idea, but I consider you guys like the experts. If someone, you know, wanted to really find out all the different things. Now, one of the things you mentioned as far as giving is scholarships. You know, everyone wants to, you know, education. Mm-hmm. People that are educated seem to do better, so that's kind of a big plus. So let's talk about scholarships. How would that work?
So there's different funds that people can create at the Community Foundation, including the Donor Advised Fund, which is, again, your charitable checkbook. And then we have the Designated Fund, which, again, you select one or more nonprofits, and they just automatically receive a reliable income every year. And then we have a scholarship fund. So there's three tiers to scholarship funds at ACF, and you, depending on how much money you're using to open a fund, we put you on a tier, and you could either be very hands-on. So you can say...
is that tier one or tier three?
This is tier two and three.
Okay.
You can say, Veronica, we want to review the scholarship applications. We want to choose the student. And I'm like, okay, so it's we can set that up. Tier one is like, here's the money. Make sure it goes to ag students, sure. You know, going to AWC. And then we make it happen for you. So you could either be, and that's what, why people like to work with the Community Foundation, because we can either be really hands-on with you or really hands-off, and it just depends how involved you want to be.
So if you were going to do like a scholarship thing, what was there a minimum to get that started?
It's $25,000. Yeah. Okay. All of our funds are $25,000 to start. And I know you said earlier that some other organizations do $10,000, but the $25,000 is a real sweet spot where we see the return on investments really make a difference.
Yep. Now, if I wanted to give two and I wanted like no headache, I can look at all the things already in place, and yeah, I can actually say, okay, that goes to the Boys and Girls Club. Like, someone already set it up. Yeah. I can just add money to it, right?
You can donate to your friends' staffs, to other DAFs that exist,
yeah,
or you can give to already existing funds like the Yuma Community Fund, yeah, our Fund for the Common Good. There's different, our Field of Interest funds, so we yeah have healthcare, arts and culture, and things like that.
So what I'm coming at is, you know, you don't might not have to reinvent the wheel. You can
right
just tag on to someone that already has things in place, like for ag students.
Yeah,
or something.
Well, let's say you don't have $25,000, yeah, but you have 5 or 10,
yeah,
and you need to give back. We have an option for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And most of these outfits, I'm sure it's in the paperwork, but do they ever say some of them you can't give to you? Like if I was a donor, I'm like, no, I only want my money to go here. Or most people you can just give.
Yeah. You know, I actually don't have none of like my funds that I know off the top of my head have restrictions
yeah
on it.
Yeah.
The only thing is if you give to somebody else's fund, you are following their rules.
Sure.
You can't
yeah
come in and try to make up your own
yeah
rules.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think if you want to come in and say some like have more say of where your money goes, then you definitely either donate to our community
right
fund where
right
you can join our grant review panels, or create your own.
So out of all the funds for Yuma County that are set up, is there like a general fund? You call it the community fund. Is
yeah, we
it
have the Yuma Community Fund, and we have the San Luis Community Fund. And actually the San Luis Community Fund is going to be our year-end fund that we're going to focus on. We had a great lunch meeting in San Luis earlier this week with all the local leaders there.
Okay.
The fund has $160,000 right now, and our goal is we want to get it to $1 million
mm-hmm
so we can make more grants in San Luis.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. How much, I remember sitting through a presentation a long time ago, and I know Steve Shadle,
mm-hmm,
I think, was one of the founders of getting this going. Russ Jones,
yes,
I believe, was a founder. Who were some of the other founders, you know?
F.C. Braden.
Okay. Frosty Braden, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Soldweedle.
Okay.
I have the names yeah up. Bill Gresser was a part of the original.
Okay. So right now, like, I think when I sat through a presentation probably, I don't know, 20 years ago, it was at the Hunter Steakhouse, because I remember
Hunter's.
And Steve Shadle was talking. And I think they had, like, Yuma County had, like, give or take 5 million, maybe it's 5 or 6 million, give or take. Like, that's how much was got put in.
Yeah.
So where are we at today?
Almost 26 million.
26 million.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, we have 82 funds at the Community Foundation right now. We're probably, my goal is to hit 30 million by the time I'm like 10 years at ACF. So I'm almost there. So please call me, help me get to my goal.
Yeah. And what a lot of people don't realize also is if you're going to have a big sale of property, crypto, whatever, sometimes you think, oh, well, you know, you got to have an open heart to give. So a lot of people give strictly for tax reasons,
mm-hmm,
right? I mean, you win, you can be the shrewdest, you know, Scrooge kind of guy, but you'd still write a check because it
right
just makes sense for you from a tax standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
So now,
and that's okay, too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, it all ends up in the same goal or the same end. Now, what happens, the state of Arizona, talk a little bit about that. They have, like, if we have 80, what do you call them again, from Yuma County? Yeah, 80 funds. The state as a whole must have thousands,
oh,
right?
Yeah, statewide, I don't know the number off the top of my head, but the Arizona Community Foundation is a statewide organization, and we're the largest scholarship provider, so a lot of people that set up funds are for scholarships, but DAFs are quickly making a rise there, too.
Yeah, and what I was coming at is, if you didn't like any of the
local
things, they might have something elsewhere in some other county.
Yeah, you know, Yuma, we have a lot of people in Yuma who live here in the winter, but elsewise they live around the state. And we have offices across the state, and we make grants actually all over the world. And people who are here, but their alma mater is in Pennsylvania or somewhere else, like, we make grants on their behalf over there.
Yeah. Probably fair to say, though, most of that money stays in Arizona, you'd say?
Yeah, like, Like, all of my Yuma funds, all of the money stays here. It's very localized. And actually, a lot of Phoenix donors that are very focused on rural Arizona, especially because they know, like, here in Yuma, environmental is really big, our river, all of that, and our Native American population, a lot of donors will direct their dollars to here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Are you limited on what state, like, you can start this? Like, if I lived in Winter Haven, California, could they participate, or is that, like, a different state?
You know, you can give here, but there's a lot of tax. Talk to your CPA.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to take our next break. We'll be right back. This is Money Talk, 5, 6 a.m.
This is Derek Eggerberg, NMLS number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace, offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626.
Markets. Doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management. And we got from the Arizona Community Foundation, Regional Director Veronica Shore, who's going on 10 years. Now, when's your 10-year anniversary?
December.
Oh.
But actually next December. So this year will be nine. So.
Okay. So you could hit that $30 million number.
Yeah, in another year.
Yeah, another year. Okay.
Let's do it.
Hey, well, convince Russ. You know, he has a...
Between you and Russ, I'll get there.
You'll make it.
Hey, have you ever done an actual radio fundraiser like this? Where you try to get people to say, today we're going to raise 10 grand and then they can call in?
You know, no, I haven't done a radio fundraiser, but maybe it's time. We'll do it for radio. Yeah, we'll do it for Russ.
It'd be interesting to see how that, you know, because remember the old days, they used to do the TV thing. Who was
the telethons? Yeah, the
telethons,
TV-thons,
yeah. So.
You know, that's one of the, I think one of the misconceptions about what a community foundation is, and we actually don't do fundraisers. When I first started working at ACF, we used to do a golf tournament for the Veterans Fund. Mm-hmm. And then I'm a two-person office. We don't have the capacity to have something like that anymore. We do the Heart of Yuma. That's the one event that we do every year. But other than, and that's not even a fundraising event.
Right?
It's a recognition event. Yeah. But I'm open to possibilities.
Sure. Because you never know who's listening, and, you know, some people might, you know, feel pretty giving. And do you guys have, like, a Zelle and a Venmo and all that?
No, or? You have to go on our websites to give directly. If you need to give over the phone, you can just give me a call, 539-5343. And we, you know, our giving, again, so last week, the Pouring for Compassion event by Katie Franco, she hosted it, and it was for our Veterans Fund. And she's like, try to give me cash. And I'm like, oh, no, I don't touch cash. Yeah. Like, you can send a check to us, right? But
and you kind of want it that way, so people don't get tempted to take advantage of cash.
Exactly. And we don't touch any cash in our office. We don't have any cash, and we mail our checks directly to the bank. So
where is your office?
We are on the corner of 4th Avenue and 16th Street. We're neighbors to you. You know, we're at 350 West 16th Street on the third floor. So if you ever want to come see a great view of Yuma, come visit us.
Yep, that's the big building on the corner there by Starbucks.
We have a Starbucks, Panera, Dunkin', Dutch, everything, whatever coffee you desire. Yep.
And that could be the tallest building in Yuma, or no? Maybe?
You know, I think the Crescent building is taller.
Probably a little taller, but not much.
Maybe a little.
But probably the biggest square footage.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I mean, it's such a beautiful, iconic building, right? Like, who doesn't? If you grew up in Yuma, you know exactly what building it is. So,
So, as far as giving, you know, people think, I don't have much money, so I'm not going to give. But there's a lot of different ways to give, and we're going to kind of go through these and talk about them. Some are pretty basic, but some we can explain the concept.
Yeah. If you have real estate, if you own a home and you don't have any beneficiaries, you can set up the Community Foundation as a beneficiary to benefit your favorite nonprofit. You know, your real estate can go into a DAF or designated fund, whatever, or a scholarship fund, whatever you want. And that, you know, I've said it before, but we had two mobile homes in the foothills that were like maybe $30,000 or $40,000 each that helped fund our animal welfare a fund here at ACF, and that those two sales fund over $40,000 to the Humane Society every year, just for spay and neutering services.
Oh yeah,
it just, you know, happens. So
so basically, you're saying you give at death. I mean, in a nutshell, you set up the paperwork so it's legally binding with beneficiaries or however you do it.
Yeah,
and then at death, it can be passed on.
Or let's say, you know, you find love later in life, and now you have two properties and you don't need both of them, and you want to sell one of them, and it's going to increase your capital gains, the sale of it, then you can use that money to give back.
Yeah. And one thing you don't want to do is sell something to give to a nonprofit, because you want to transfer that to them.
Yes.
So when they sell it, there's no capital gains for them and there's no capital gains for you. So a lot of people make that mistake. Well, I'm going to sell some stock and give it to the Humane Society, and they don't. Transferring
you're
the stock
exactly,
and let them sell it, and it would help you out because you'd get capital gains if you sold it yourself.
Yeah. So many nonprofits don't have the capacity to receive stock or to receive complex gifts, and that's where the Community Foundation comes in. We will help them liquidate any of those assets.
I see.
Yeah.
Are you guys able to take crypto?
Yes, we actually have a policy to accept crypto.
Yeah, okay, good. So the other idea of giving would be through life insurance.
Yes.
And a lot of people think, oh, you know, I got my family, so I don't want to do that. But in life insurance, you can just say, I want to give 5% of it to an organization. So 95% can still go to whoever you want it to go to.
Exactly.
So some people think it's like an all or nothing scenario, but it doesn't have to be that way.
No, you can designate beneficiaries in your life insurance. And actually, many people don't. So I was talking to a life insurance agent, Susan James, and she was saying that a lot of clients don't put any beneficiaries because they don't know who to write in. And leaving the Community Foundation as your beneficiary just opens that door to support your favorite nonprofits. And if you don't have a favorite nonprofit, we'll use the community fund that then supports many nonprofits every year.
And usually life insurance is used for a reason, which is to support people if you died. But as kids get out of the house, or even one of the spouses might pass away because of old age, so at some point you realize, I still got this life insurance, but like it's just me.
Yeah.
That'd be a great way to get the beneficiary down to a nonprofit.
Yeah, and sometimes your children don't want to be the beneficiaries because why? It increases their annual income and they have capital gains taxes. So you have to be very careful with that. Have that conversation with them.
Yeah. And then the other way to give would be, what's another way you can give?
Well, before we move on, so I know of people who have set up another life insurance policy just to benefit their favorite nonprofit. So not as big as their $1 million life insurance, sure, but maybe a $25,000 or $100,000. And when you do set up those beneficiaries, if you come talk to me about it, we'll create a legacy gift agreement. It's free of charge, but that's just to ensure that we know that money is coming and that you've set up the foundation as a beneficiary of one of your life insurances.
And a lot of things about life insurance is you leverage the money. So if I was going to give hypothetically $100,000, maybe I could put $100,000 in the life insurance, and now I can give, you know, $250,000.
Yeah.
So you leverage the money through life insurance.
So and let's just say like you set up the life insurance and you leave a nonprofit as the beneficiary, especially at ACF, and you leave them there. And you tell me, Veronica, I have this $100,000 life insurance policy that I'm donating to the Yuma Community Food Bank through you. Then we count you as a legacy gift and we count you as a $100,000 donation.
Oh.
And then you're just paying your insurance premium, $5, sure, $10 or $18 a month, whatever it is.
Sure.
But you still count as a legacy gift giver of $100,000.
Correct. Now, do you know if that has only be done through whole life or universal life, or can it be done through term?
I actually don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll have to ask an insurance agent.
Difference on how they do work.
Yeah.
But, you know, eventually terms expire, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I live long enough, my little gift,
right,
you know, expired.
Yeah. Kind
of. But be interesting.
Some are revocable, some are irrevocable. Yeah.
That'd be good to find out.
Yeah.
I'm just curious. So giving that, you could also give medals, coins, right?
Yeah. We our gift acceptance policy is on our website, and we have like the longest list of gifts that you can give. They do go through a gift acceptance committee who reviews everything, and then we tell you yay or nay.
Yeah, but if you're rummaging around and you realize, oh, I bought these, you know, 10 gold coins, you know, 30 years ago, and I'm, you know, might not be around tomorrow, you can give those out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's money, especially gold's at almost $4,000 an ounce.
Yeah. Don't give us your Beanie Babies.
Yeah,
your gold, yes,
yeah,
not the Beanie Babies.
Yeah, silver, metal, yeah. So some people try to give you stuff, they're like, thank you, but it just doesn't make sense. Or,
you know, one time, and I had forgotten about this, but somebody said they wanted to donate a cobalt, and I thought, oh, a gun. Okay, interesting. But no, it was actually a horse. So
cobalt, huh?
Yeah.
What about if you have a collection? Say I have a unique collection of, I don't know, bronze statues or something, I don't know, or paintings or something.
We will review it.
A little harder, right? But
yeah,
you'd review it. Yeah.
We'll review it, and we have people who, what are they called?
The art dealers
who, appraisers,
yeah,
appraisers,
yeah,
right? I definitely don't do any of that, but we do have experts on our team who will review all of that.
Yeah, yeah. So that's really all the giving I could think of.
Well, you can use your IRA, you know, all of those distributions. Yeah,
beneficiaries on any retirement accounts.
Yeah, retirement accounts.
TOD, transfer on death.
Yes.
Put it in your trust,
mm-hmm,
you know, to make it, yeah. So, that's interesting because, you know, when you, like life insurance, when you pass, you have a beneficiary, but most of those retirement accounts have beneficiaries.
Right.
So, again, you don't have to put, you know, you can only put 5, 10% down.
Right.
So, you know, the other, whoever you give it to won't feel the pain as much, but it's a good idea. I think a lot of people are black and white thinking,
mm-hmm,
like, well, I don't want to give my IRA away. It's $500,000. Well,
no, let's 10%, talk percentage. Yeah.
10% would be 50 grand. And
yeah,
then, oh, okay, well, that could make sense.
You know, most people, there's very few people who truly understand what $50,000 will do for a nonprofit. But the people who work for nonprofits, if you give them $1,000, it makes their week better because they can. There's nobody better that knows how to use a dollar, you know, stretch a dollar than a nonprofit. So imagine if you leave them in your trust, in your will, or as a beneficiary, like a $50,000 gift is transformative.
Yep. And some of these gifts are set up so that they don't touch the principal. They can touch just the earnings on it or some of the earnings. So basically, if someone like the Humane Society ever got big enough endowment of, say, $10 million, mm-hmm. a lot of that would fund like half of their budget.
Yeah.
Or, you know, so that's the goal of every nonprofit, right? Is to, I mean, asking for money is probably the worst thing about a nonprofit because you're always looking. But
yeah.
if you can get a big enough endowment over time that would fund most of it, a lot of it, that would be great. Huh?
Imagine if we like could use our staff to just run the day-to-day operations and not have to be fundraising every single day because someone was thoughtful enough to leave them in their trust and their will to truly make a difference.
Yeah, yeah. So you can give through, you know, the retirement accounts or that. The other way to give is through charitable trust.
We have charitable lead trust. We have charitable gift annuities, charitable remainder unit trust, charitable remainder annuity trust. And some of these, when you set them up, you get monthly payments back. And then upon your passing, the remainder in the fund goes to the nonprofit you designated.
So let's just give an example. Say I had a rental house and I was retired and I'm getting income mm-hmm. from the rental house. I can give that house away, but continue to get the rental income.
Right.
And then when I pass, the house would go to the nonprofit.
Yes.
And you can also kind of reverse it. Let's just say, and I don't know the exact name of this, but let's just say I give $500,000, but I can set up an annuity payment for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically based on your age. And the older you are, they actually will give you a higher rate of return. So like an 80-year-old might get 8% return on your annuity or on your money, which is pretty good yield, really.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're younger, you might only get, like, say, 6%. But so they pay you that payment out. Now, that pot might be going down a little bit because mm-hmm. it is making payments. But the goal is when you pass, whatever's remaining in there will be passed on.
Yeah, and remember that we all of our funds are invested. So every single fund at ACF is invested. We work like as an we're not an investment firm, but we do invest our monies with $1.5 billion across the state.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which probably means you get a better rate on everything.
7 to 10% return on investment.
Yeah, but I'm not thinking necessarily that, but a better cost rate. Because if I'm going to go to a company and say, I got $1.5 billion, I want a good deal, you're going to give them a good deal, right?
Exactly.
Compared to $1.5 million or something.
Yeah. I had somebody tell me the other day, well, I have a fund with this other organization and they don't charge me any fees. Why are you charging $750? Because we charge $750 a year. And I said, I would call back and double check and make sure because you are paying. And
nothing's free, right?
Nothing's free. You are paying. And they were actually paying $1,200. So they were very surprised to find out that they were actually paying somebody that they thought was free, a free service.
And not only is there like costs like that, but there's also costs within the investments.
Right.
So you might have an internal investment that has, we call it under the table fee,
right,
which could be like, let's just say 1.8%, where, you know, the fees with the funds could be half of that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's fees above the table, which you might see on a statement. Right. And there's usually fees under the table, depending on how it's set up.
Exactly. And, you know, I think as a community foundation, our strength is the nonprofits, right? We know them. We know how to help you give back to them. We know how to facilitate that process. But we want to make sure that you work with your financial advisor and your CPA to make the best giving decision.
Yep. Hey, we're going to take another break here. This is Money Talk, 5-6 a.m.
This is Derek Eggeberg, NMLS number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace.
marketplace offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626.
They believe they manage money for their clients differently from many other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. Visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com and find out why investors switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Hey, Yuma, another beautiful Friday, and we're on Money Talk, talking about giving. We got Veronica Shoren here, who's the Regional Director of Arizona Community Foundation.
Good morning.
Yep. So we're kind of on the backside of this show. We have an event coming up.
Yes. So October 9th is Donor Advised Day across the nation. We're calling it DAF Day. And ACF is partnering with the Foundation of Onvita Health to have a free lunch and learn for people who want to learn more details about how DAFs work.
Okay, so free lunch. You got my attention.
Sign up. You have to register.
So, and where is that going to be at?
It's going to be at Onvita and the Health Cancer and Blood Disorders Center Legacy Conference Room. So it's a very specific room. But
so when you're driving down the hill, it's a building on the right.
Yes, on the right.
The cancer center.
Exactly. Not exactly at the hospital, but yes, across from it.
Okay. And that's going to be about an hour, or how long will that be?
It's going to be from 11:30 to 1. Okay. So we're going to do a little bit of, I'm going to talk about how the DAFs work at the Community Foundation. We have Jacob Eccles from Edward Jones, who's going to talk more about the mechanics of a DAF and the tax benefits. And then Onvita is going to share some stories of how DAFs have transformed the work that they do here in Yuma.
I see.
Yeah.
So good. It's educational. Now, you had a story about a DAF or something.
Yeah.
Right?
So actually, earlier this week, my CEO was in town and we were touring different sites. We were focused on affordable housing during the visit. And Sunny Rodriguez, who's a DAF fund holder with us, invited us to tour his new farm housing in Somerton. And the student that was there is a Yuma Catholic graduate. And now he is the one of the lead directors there of the buildings there. And he shared with us that he was the beneficiary of a scholarship at Yuma Catholic that was funded by Sunny's DAF.
Oh.
So talk about like a full circle moment, right? So the Sunny's DAF funds scholarships at Yuma Catholic, and now one of the students who benefited from this scholarship is now working for him and helping oversee that entire housing management.
So kind of the circle of comes around, goes around, right?
Yeah. And he's such an incredible youth, and he was very grateful for Sunny and the opportunities he's given him. So this is what we do with our money here in town, right? We invest in our own, we grow our own, and we make a difference with our own.
Yep. And a lot of times, I was on the hospital foundation board like a long, long time ago. And I remember they told me the story of how it got started.
Mm-hmm.
Is there was two sisters that were nurses, and they worked for the hospital for a long, long time. But, you know, as a nurse, you don't make a ton of money. But
right.
So they ended up not marrying or having any kids. And when they died, I forgot the dollar amount, but it was one thing you were like, wow, that, you know, for two nurses, like that was quite a bit of money. But that's what started the foundation.
Yeah, that is very cool.
And they left him as a beneficiary, and the hospital didn't have an arm for that, and they left enough to get
started.
They
created the community foundation. Yeah, yeah, I mean the hospital foundation.
And some of the people there knew these nurses because it says it's a long time ago, and they would say, "You would never know these nurses had money. They drove around in like the old car. They
yeah.
would, you know, make their sandwich for lunch every day, but they were very frugal with their money."
That is the most common story I hear. It's very true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you never know. you know, where the gifts are going to come from, but a lot of it can come from just the average person that has excess that he can't take it with you.
We're in a place where my generation's benefiting not only from my parents, but from my grandparents. And so, I mean, so are you, I'm sure, right? So like now your children are going to have benefits from you being successful. And it's this generational thing. And you're inheriting homes that you weren't planning for. You're inheriting land that you didn't know your parents bought.
Sure.
You're inheriting life insurance policies that you didn't know existed. So there's a lot of wealth transfer between generations that's happening right now. Actually, in the next couple of years, it's close to $1.3 trillion in wealth transfer from generation to generation.
Yep. And a lot of times, from my standpoint, a lot of that stuff got set up a long, long time ago,
mm-hmm.
as far as their beneficiaries, their trust. So it doesn't hurt to review what's in there, because
right.
sometimes people that are even in there are no longer alive.
Right.
So you might say, okay, well, I was going to give something to my sister. She's not around, but yeah. maybe I'll plug in the Arizona Community Foundation. Or
so when you work with your estate planner and you're setting up your estate plans and you leave the Arizona Community Foundation as the beneficiary of your will or trust, and then with us, you set up the legacy gift and tell us exactly what nonprofits you want your money to go to. You don't pay to call us and tell us to change the beneficiaries, right? When you call your estate planning attorney, you pay. You call them to make a change to your trust, you pay.
You amend it?
Any amendments, you pay. When you designate ACF in your trust or will and you set up the charitable giving part with us, you don't pay any at all. No, you don't pay at all. You pay at death, you know, for you. That's when you leave your estate with us.
And because that means the internal documents you have, you can change them whenever, basically.
No charge. You can call me and say, Veronica, you know, they piss me off. Now I want to support this, or this brand new organization popped up. I want to add them. Then we make the change free of charge.
Sure. So I got to ask, what's the biggest fund in Yuma, money-wise, is out there?
Ooh, what is
that,
my biggest?
Sturgis or no?
We have Sturgis. Sturgis has a few field of interest funds with us. They're not the largest. We're about to get a really big gift. That means that fund's going to be the largest. But no. Our community fund has a lot
you
of
can't
money.
Release it on radio?
Not right now. Let's wait for it to
okay.
happen.
So, I mean, is the biggest gift, though, more of by an individual? Or is it more like a community one where everyone keeps putting money inside of it?
Well, the biggest gift that we've received in the Yuma office has been by an individual.
Okay.
But there's a collaborative giving, too, right? So where everybody pulls their money together. The San Luis Community Fund is a great example. It has $163,000, and that was by people giving $500, $1,000. Our veterans fund is big, and it was the same thing. You know, it was collaborative right. giving.
Well, even the billionaires are doing it, because, you know, Bill Gates made a pledge that he's trying to convince these billionaires to give at least half of their money away at
yeah.
death. And a lot of them jumped on board.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know quite a few. So even people with billions and billions of dollars are giving, which, you know, they're smart people. So.
Yeah. If you have any inkling to give back and don't know where to start, just give me a call. It costs nothing. We can talk over coffee. I can buy you lunch, breakfast, yeah. dinner, whatever you want.
And then you got some support out of probably the Phoenix office. So if you do want to probably talk to like a higher estate attorney or something,
yeah.
that, I mean, you have people that you can facilitate, right?
We have an estate attorney on our team. We have stock investments, experts,
yeah.
everything.
Yeah.
yeah. Come yeah. talk to us. 539-5343.
Great. Well, give the date again and where it's at.
October 9th, 11:30 a.m. And if you want to register, please give us a call at 928-336-7045. And that will be to Onvila.
Great. You, everyone, have a great weekend. Be safe and enjoy yourself. Thank you.
Hold tight. Went to the The opinions voiced in Money Talk with Tom Rush and George Davis Wealth are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial or tax advisor prior to investing. Guests on Money Talk are not affiliated with CWM LLC. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.